Welcome to another episode of It's Not About You with Jamal, Marianne, and Cousin Todd.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another what's promised to be a great episode of It's Not About You with myself and Marianne. First of all, Marianne, how are you doing this fine morning where you're at?
Going kind of crazy, just in the process of remodeling my house so that I can get it on the market and sell it in this hot market so I can go get me another house, and crying about the houses that I've missed out on because I don't have the remodel done. But, and I'm flaky. I actually, you know, you get what you pay for. I went with a friend's recommendation on, oh no, he's great. He's a great painter. He can do all kinds of stuff besides painting. $700 later, and I'm like, this is going to cost me a lot of money to fix up his fuck up. He painted my light bulbs outside. He painted the light bulbs. I spent $100 on a very beautiful brass. It's a one of a kind brass dragon doorbell. Okay. He taped it. He blue taped around it, but it didn't tape over the top and oversprayed it. So now I'm going to have to get this rubbery, pasty looking nasty ass paint off my beautiful brass doorbell. I'm looking at all the shit he fucked up. Anyways, Rick, kiss my lily white ass on your friend. He's an idiot. I would have given him $500 and called it good. But because Romeo being Romeo and he's too sweet, gave him 70. The guy's like, no, I need 700 because I did all this. I'm like, you were here for like 3 days, you asshat. So what I'm saying is that somebody who comes from the construction industry who knows better, yeah, don't go with your friend's recommendation. Show me your contractor's license, you asshat. So now I actually have people that I work with coming in, and we're going to get it done right. It's going to be beautiful. Wow. But it was bad. I was so mad. I looked at him, I'm like, what did you do? I couldn't even tell he painted it. And then he looks at me and he goes, well, this is the worst wood rot I've ever seen. And if you've got $15,000, and I'm like, dude, it would cost you $15,000. It won't cost me $15,000 because I know people who actually know what the hell they're doing. And so you're fired. Get out of here. Go. Just go.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, that sounds like a headache right there.
We
have a good old cousin Todd. Cousin Todd, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, as I was saying earlier, and I posted about this on Facebook. I joined this new social media platform. It's very similar to TikTok, except for it has like you can upvote things, you can downvote things, and they don't have algorithms that, well, they do, but they don't have them so that you have to be a certain number of followers before you can do certain things and stuff like that. And so I joined it, and then I posted a handful of videos, one or two videos. And then I noticed yesterday, like, one of my videos got 1,100 views. Like, holy shit, wow. I was like, that's amazing. And so I recorded a video thanking everybody for watching that stupid video. And that video, as of today, is 20,100 views. So
20,100 views?
Yes.
That's a lot. That's,
yes,
in one
and
day.
That was a thank you video for the 1,100 views video.
Oh wow! Well.
And I went from having when I first posted that first video, I think I had about 100 followers, and now I have 1,700, so 1,700 followers. And
wow!
Yeah,
wow.
It's crazy.
I want to on that platform.
Clapper's cool, man. I have to admit, there's all kinds of people on there. There's not a lot of political things being posted. There are some, but not like on TikTok where everybody's like clowning on other people because they believe different than you. And which some of those can be funny, let's be honest, but you know, I don't know. I'm totally shocked that my phone hasn't shut up for the last 48 hours. It's constantly like bing, bing, bing. And it was just like, I need to disable like the notifications on that app because it's insane. I've done social media for what, the last 8 years, as far as, you know, I've been on Facebook. Yeah. For almost 12 years. So, it's crazy that I'm getting this much notice from one like 60 second video, or not even that. I think it was like 30 seconds, you know, crazy.
Well, congratulations on your online, your social media success. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
I'm becoming an influencer. Oh my God. It's so cool.
Hey, we pump out superstars here on this podcast, yo. We pump out superstars. Oh.
Actually, though, I do want to just kind of heads up for you guys, and I'm hoping that it's going to be out probably sometime in the next 3 weeks.
Cut video?
So I did another cut video, and for those of you who have seen any of my videos, Truth or Drink, exes with Mike and Marianne and Gal, and then Truth or Drink, Strangers Talk About Sex, and then I've also done Keeping It 100, several of those. Well, this time I did engaged couples side by side with Romeo. And so it's going to be really interesting. Yeah, that's my fiance and I. I finally was able to get them to, I've been trying to get him on one of the videos for over a year. And he's finally got a chance to be in one. And it's going to be interesting because they had me go into the green room and they interviewed him and asked him all the specific questions. And then we swapped places and they asked me the same question. And so like one of the questions, like they actually asked me a question that we'd never talked about. One of the questions, of course, is how many people have you slept with? And I was like, I'll tell you the same thing I tell everybody. I know Jamal's eyes just got huge. I'm like, I said, well, I'll tell you what, here's the, yeah, and I said more than one, clearly more than one, but less than 100. Those are my numbers. And
oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
I think that's an appropriate response.
That narrows it down.
I think that's appropriate.
That is such a ballpark answer.
Right? That's what I kind of thought. I thought that was a great answer. And so they were like, but they did ask some, you know, deep questions like I thought they, you know, and I know them because I know how I've done the videos before. So Romeo didn't know some of the questions to expect. And like they asked, who's the better lover? And he's like, she is. We talked about it after. He goes, she's got skills. And then they were like, who do you think slept with more people? Her. He goes, she had to get them skills somewhere. I guess one of the questions like they ask, and it's going to be interesting to see which ones actually make the cut. Like they were asking, you know, things like, you know, which one wanted to get married, which one wanted to, you know, who said I love you first type things. And you know, so it's just, you know, it's always interesting to do these videos because the shoot's an hour. And the video, when it comes out, is probably about 3 or 4 minutes. And so it's always interesting to see what actually makes the cut once they're done editing everything. So it'll be an interesting.
I mean, I guess it could be worse. It could be your parents asking you these questions.
Right.
You know, I'd much rather have a stranger or a TV producer or a web producer ask me those questions. I'd feel much comfortable.
Keep in mind, your parents are going to see it. Your parents will see it. Trust me, my parents, my mom, you know, God rest her, but my dad definitely saw the one where
Marianne.
Truth or Drink, Marianne, and my dad thought it was funny. You know,
oh, that's good.
These are my parents. I'm thinking, you know, my dad was such a fucking he-whore. It was ridiculous. I mean, please. My dad would say things like, "Hurry, I need to go get laid." I'm like, "I know, right, Dad?"
Wait. Your dad was encouraging? Oh, man, that's the best.
No, that's the best dad ever.
So what do you think Grandma Mary would have said to that video, Marianne? She would have been like, "Oh, that's
no." She, Grandma Mary would have had a freaking heart attack on the spot. Grandma Mary, you couldn't even say the word condom in the room in front of her without her like, "Oh,
oh dear."
No, oh, we don't talk that way. Yeah,
Do you remember? Do you remember that year at Christmas where we did the pull the name out of the hat gift exchange and I got Grandma? Do you remember that, Marianne?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what I got her? My grandmother, I was what, 15, 16 at the time? I was a teenager.
Yeah.
My grandmother, knowing how much I loved it when I went shopping with her or my mom and they had to go through the underwear section of the store, thought it'd be hilarious to ask me for underwear for Christmas. And well, that backfired on her. And she didn't react, but everybody else did. And I think Marianne had the best reaction, which is actually, your mom did too, actually. I think you, your mom, and Laura both all were like, "Oh my God," and started laughing. I bought her some edible underwear.
I remember that.
And, you know, she looked and go, "Oh, okay," and set it down. And you guys all like lost your minds.
That's
my mom was just like, "Oh my God. Oh no, no, no."
Yeah, your mom is a little bit more uptight. When it came to Grandma.
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. She was around so tight you could put a piece of coal in her ass and come out a diamond. You know, she was definitely way more uptight. But let's bring our guest on, because he's patiently being quiet, listening to our antics. Jamal.
Yes.
Introduction.
Yeah, our guest today is he's a writer for the Grit City magazine. He also has a website called TacomaStories.com. You guys should check that out and read his magazine as well. Please welcome Jack Cameron onto our show.
Hi. How's everybody
Jack,
doing?
How's it going, man? How's it going, Jack?
It's going okay. I got my vaccine shot on Friday. I got the Johnson & Johnson one and done, because I don't like needles. I'm not a needle guy, so I didn't like the idea of two needles. I also didn't want another appointment that I had to remember to go to. I didn't want any of that. Yeah.
So now you're in a mobile hotspot. You can run around and give people 5G service.
That's exactly how it works. Yeah, I got injected and immediately I started buying Microsoft products. I don't even know why. For the first day, it was fine. And then last night, I sneezed and was sick. Like, I went from not sick at all to I sneezed and I was sick. I had no energy. And I just kind of laid down around 9 o'clock last night, which is really weird for me. I'm usually up till like midnight or one. But woke up this morning and I feel a little achy, but that's about it. So,
yeah.
I've been looking at a lot of different shots. So I'm trying to get myself and Romeo in to get our shots. I actually had an appointment in my crosshairs, was hitting the button, and then thought, maybe I should actually ask Romeo if he wants to hit the shot before I make him go in. You know, until we've signed on the dotted line and I actually, it's a fine one, it's done. Like, I still have to remember that I'm just the fiance, not the wife. You know, it's so cute. You know, actually, if I'd have come in and said, "Here's your appointment," and he's like, "I don't want to go," and I'm like, "I didn't ask, you're going," he'd have been like, because he's a good man. And but I thought I should at least, you know, because we've been kind of back and forth on it, and I've talked about this, is that I finally said, you know what, I've decided to go ahead and get the shots. Because I'm not going to be ruled in fear. I'm going to be ruled with, you know, knowledge. And so instead I did some education and I found out more about the shots and found out more, like, this isn't something that has just been studied for the last couple of months or, you know, recently. They've actually been working on this for the last 10 years because COVID's been around that long. It's just this variant of COVID is the one that's been very, you know, so deadly. And so, excuse me. after that, you know, after I did some education, I was like, okay, now I'm just trying to figure out which one I want. I've heard some different things about the Johnson & Johnson. I've heard some different things about, you know, Pfizer and Moderna. And I'm thinking that for us, probably the Moderna would be the best as far as side effects and everything.
That's the one I've got. I had my first one like 2 weeks ago. I get my next one on the 16th. And so I'm looking forward to finally getting it done and over with.
Yeah, I got the Moderna one on the 2nd of this month, and which was a Friday, and then I got completely batshit sick the next day, and I got to go back on the 30th. Yeah, I thought it was a 2 week because Jack, I hate needles too.
Yeah,
which I understand why you did the Johnson & Johnson one. This one, the Moderna one that I took, it fucking hurt, you know. And then I went home and I started getting the chills, and I was like, oh my god, is this, I wasn't sure if it was the vaccine or heroin they put into me, because I was like feeling like shit. And then we had family over for Easter, and I was just laid out. I was sick that entire weekend. But I thought, yeah, I think with the Pfizer one, the window is a lot between the first shot and the second shot is a lot shorter than the Moderna one. That one,
not the murder one,
the murder one. Well, yeah, the one that causes, you know, death.
The other reality for me about the shot too is, so one of my dear friends that I work with, we talked about this, he lost his grandmother, and an hour later his older sister died. Since then, 2 weeks later, his brother-in-law just died. And his brother-in-law's brother is also critically ill. Last night, another friend of mine on Friday night lost her grandmother, and last night lost her grandfather to COVID. Like, these are realities for a lot of people who say, you know, like, and I have this argument with people that are, they're like, oh, this is just a hoax, just a joke, it's not that big of a deal. I had it. It was no worse than having, you know, allergies. Okay, you guys, but we don't know. That's the problem, is that we don't know if we get it, how we're going to react to it. My aunt, my stepmom's sister just got out of the hospital. And they didn't know if she was going to make it or not. She just got out of the hospital from it. These are the realities that, you know, like, and I talked to, like, especially like with these younger people, that maybe your sphere of people that you know is very small. So the chances are that you're not going to really know as many people who've been severely affected. But the more people you know, and you start listening to their stories and how it's a real thing. They've lost their grandparents. They've lost, you know, one, like I said, that's a grandmother and a sister an hour apart from each other. You know, these are the realities. And these are something that if my getting a shot, and as horrible as it might make me feel for a short amount of time, protects my older sister and my future husband from getting sick, it's worth it to me. And that's just it, though, is that, you know, some of the places I have to think about, not just myself, but who else am I around? Who else that I might affect if I catch this virus and bring it home, or bring it not just home, but who they go to see and who they might be impacted by. Like these younger people that come in and they're not wearing masks, and they're like, oh, I don't have to wear a mask because it doesn't affect us. No, but it kills your grandparents or your parents. So can we please, until more people get vaccinated, can we please remember, we still have to wear these masks. We still have to social distance. We still have to wash your fucking hands. You know what?
Right.
COVID or no COVID, wash your fucking hands. If you go use the bathroom, you come out from holding your dick and you haven't washed your hands, you're a nasty bastard. Hey, if you're some woman, it's even worse. You washed your hoochie. You just wiped your hoochie with your freaking paper. And I'm telling you, as a woman, I know that the pee goes through that toilet paper. No matter how much toilet paper you put on your hand, it goes through your fucking hand and it gets onto your hand. When you wipe your vagina and it's got poop pee on there, wash your fucking hands. That's all I'm saying. Don't come near me. You haven't washed your fucking hands, you nasty bitch.
What?
Anyways, rant over. Rant over. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Hey.
Oh, my.
Well, I was fairly certain that as soon as I mentioned my getting the vaccine, it would end up being about wiping vaginas.
Right? And that's just a natural progression, don't you think?
Obviously.
I mean, clearly, hello. Especially if you have a female on the show. I mean, it's got to go there. We need to talk about things that people don't necessarily talk about, Jeff. And hey, they should, you know, be talking about.
We've talked about bowel movement problems. We've talked about all kinds of stuff on this podcast. So why not?
Yeah.
Know. What makes this different from any other episode?
Right?
Like,
you never know.
I think if the word vagina is not used once, at least we're not doing ourselves justice. So,
right?
especially when it comes to the hygiene of a vagina and what we expect whenever you're out in public after using the bathroom.
Yes, wash your hands.
Well, here's the thing. Like I've said before, I haven't been sick for almost a year because I'm not shaking motherfuckers' hand. I'm not shaking people's hand. I'm not, you know, we're wearing masks. So I kind of feel, like I said, I kind of feel like it's because, like, okay, I'll just come out and say people are dirty. Like,
right.
As human beings, we are dirty people. We're not aware. I've seen people at, like, I'll go to ball games. People hold their dicks, use the bathroom, and just walk right the fuck out, forgetting that their sinks, like, the sinks are installed for, like, you know,
and display. Then they'll go eat a hot dog.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that not disgusting?
You know, you're about,
is that not disgusting?
You're eating popcorn barehanded.
Yeah, after it's just, not okay.
You know what I'm saying? And of course, yeah. Well, I'm sure my dick is clean. Well, that's not the point. The point is, you're transferring your dirty ass from your dirty ass nether region. I mean, you could have went anal and not taken a bath since. Like, we don't know what your story is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you're transferring what fecal matter onto like high fives and handshakes and popcorn and handheld foods and shit like that. Like people, you know, and then you get other people sick. Like, how the fuck did I get sick? You know, I didn't shake nobody's hands. Well, I was, you know, in close proximity with somebody who doesn't bathe or something.
Oh shit. You know,
it's fucking disgusting.
And there's always that one guy who's like, hey man, I know how to take a piss without pissing all over my hands.
It's not even getting the pee on your hands. It's the bacteria that's festering in that region right there, because it's probably a little bit musty. It might be a little bit sweaty. It might be a little bit moist. And then the bacteria goes, ooh, we love sweaty, moist areas. So you're grabbing your dick and pulling it from your balls, right? You're pulling your dick from your balls. You're separating them. You wrapped your hand around your Johnson, and all that bacteria went, what? You know, oh, we get a new home.
You've given this a lot of thought.
We're going on a trip. We're going to go on a trip from the balls.
What's funny is people will hear this, and the one thing they'll zero in on and be offended by is the word moist. Everything else, they'll have no problem with.
Yeah.
Yes, like, your guys' balls and dicks are moist. I know you're moist. I've encountered a dick and balls or two in my life. They're moist.
Okay.
It's less than 100.
Yeah, right?
Yes, less than 100.
It sounds less like
than, hey, that's not necessarily true, Jack. I just said I slept with less than 100 people. It didn't mean that I didn't grab more than 100 dicks. So I may have encountered a few dicks more in my life.
So to quote from Clerks, 37.
37.
My girlfriend's like 37 dicks
in a row.
Marianne, I think you do have sons. So if anybody would know how dudes interact in a bathroom, it'd be you. But man, you got that to a T, man. That's kind of, you know. It's like you're hovering over our shoulders while we're taking a piss. Like, oh, don't forget to use the bath. Don't forget to wash your hands now. You know, 20 seconds.
Hey, do you think I'm a mom of two boys? I've watched them. I've watched how you guys pee. And plus, I've watched a few, you know, like a husband or two. Like one husband, one psycho.
Well, you know, husbands can be just like
Romeo and a future husband. So, I mean, so at least five. At least five I've watched Pete.
You know,
at least I've talked to him.
Not for nothing. I think if I ever got married, I would want at least that kind of privacy. If I'm taking a piss, I'm like, that's the one time out of the day where I'm not in anybody's faces. I don't have, you know, that's just my time. That 30 seconds of me holding my dick. Yeah, sure. Well, honey, I've seen you naked. Yeah, you've seen me naked, but you've never seen me take a piss. That's a whole new different thing.
Is that creating
right
the bounce?
You know what I'm saying? Like, you've never, like, the one thing you're not going to ever see me do is take a shit. Like, that's not happening. Like,
you better get two bathrooms.
Like, it's
you better have two bathrooms.
That will probably happen. But
A lock on the door.
You will never.
It happens. You know, Jack, are you married?
I've been married twice.
So you know what happens. They're walking in. I don't care what you're doing. Look, I got to brush my teeth. We got like 5 minutes to get out of here. We're running late. And then all of a sudden a powerful shit comes over you, then you better be shit because I'm brushing. I'm like, God, really? Did you fucking have to take a shovel and brush my teeth? That's disgusting. Why did you? You couldn't wait. I know. I couldn't wait. You couldn't, you know, I'm not stopping my brushing my teeth. I'm like midway, you know, I don't just stop.
You have to have two bathrooms in a house.
That doesn't always work.
Or you can brush your teeth. You can march your ass into the kitchen while I handle my business because there's a sink in there too.
So. Oh, that's gross. I'm not.
Wait, so it's gross to go brush your teeth in the kitchen?
Yeah.
But you're gross. Okay with like someone taking a dump 2 feet away from you while you brush your teeth?
Put that sill on the toilet. Like, look, you need to keep your legs closed. Put the sill on the toilet. Keep everything sealed down until I'm done and brush, and then you can flush. You can do whatever. Once you get up,
it's stick out. It's just, you know, circumstances.
You know, it's
right,
funny.
It happens.
I have actually watched. I mean, like, I'll be in the bathroom brushing my teeth, and then like, you know, significant other will sit down, and which is fine. Like, I'm just like, if it's okay with you, it's okay with me, but. In reverse? Nah, that's not gonna happen. You know, oh, come on. It's just I'm just gonna sit here.
Are you telling me? Hold up, Jamal.
Yeah, yes, I am being hypocritical.
You are almost 40 years. You are almost 40 years old, and you tell me that no woman's ever seen you pee?
I don't think a woman has ever seen me pee. No, I mean, not like they've been in the bathroom with me while I've done it, but they've never just sat there and just be like, oh, wow, strong stream, you know, like, they don't fucking do that. They know I'm pissing. They're in the same vicinity. But what I'm trying to say is, like, if I'm using a bathroom, that's like the only time that 30 seconds to a minute, depending on what I've had, is like, it's like quiet. It's my time. You know what I mean? This is me, you know, so. But I mean, yeah, I've had like a girl brush her teeth while my back was turned to her, you know, using the bathroom, having to, you know, that's one thing. But she's never like, I can't say has seen like urine coming out of me. Like, no, that's never happened. And it's not that.
But anyways, you didn't know. You just didn't know that she was watching. She could see.
And it's not that.
She's giving you side eye.
It's not that I'm embarrassed or anything like that. It's just like, you know, first of all, what is so important that you need to be in the same room with me while I'm relieving myself, like that you can't tell me through the door. That you can't tell me through the door, like, you know, I'm going to, you know, we're gonna go get sushi. Okay, you don't need to be in here in the bathroom to tell me that. I'm coming with you after I'm done, and you know, but yeah, it's that's never.
And take that extra time to wash your hands.
Yeah,
and wash your hands afterwards.
And the sad thing is, like, I've seen professionals like lawyers or people that wear ties that go to the bathroom and they just pick up their briefcase and walk the fuck out the door. And I'm just like, and I keep in mind, I'm like, I'm never shaking that guy's hands. And when I do actually meet that lawyer or whatever, and they're just like, oh yeah, this is so-and-so. I don't even shake hands. I'm like, oh, forgive me. I don't shake hands. Oh, what are you, a germaphobe? No, I'm just smart.
Anymore, you could definitely just say, yeah, I'm a germaphobe. What of it? I don't want to get sick. Fuck right. You.
Yeah. Pandemics kind of helped out in that way.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, you know what? Stop and think about it. They went from their moist dick and balls to their moist hand. That bacteria is having a field day. It's actually having a field trip because it's leaving. It's traveling. As soon as they put their hand on your back as they walk by, hey, Jamal, how you doing?
Yeah. I gotta burn that shirt, you know, as soon as I get home. You know, and on top of that, God forbid it's a summer day and it's humid. Oh, man. Can you imagine? You are just unsticking your balls from your thighs, like, every step you take.
Like, no, you know, man. What? Here's a little pro tip, too. For those women listening who didn't know this, if you ever want to know how a guy, if they're wearing boxers, you can always tell when a guy is, he'll do kind of a bit of a squat to unstick his balls from the side of his leg. I've seen that. It's hilarious. And once you know what you're looking at, you can't unsee it. And it's hilarious because they'll do little squats. Like they'll kind of like spread they'll go bow legged a little bit, do a little bit of a squat and then stand up. It's because they're unsticking their balls from their legs. You're welcome, ladies. Okay.
Is that how I do it? I don't remember.
It is, trust me.
I think I just usually reach in and actually kind of move them around. But no, I just
Jamal
saw this.
Jamal pulled up a sign that says guilty.
In case
you were ever wondering, Jamal, when we were roommates, if I knew that's what you were doing, yes, I did. But I was polite enough as a roommate for all those years that I never said anything.
I wasn't doing body squats. I was like, oh my God. And you have to do that shake, you know, like you gotta, you know, gotta get it out of there, like,
It's almost like a little bit of a bow-legged squat, hip thrust forward.
I put a link in the chat room.
You know, it's summertime.
This is when you know, like, you know, your kids from the 80s are reaching their 50s when things like this become a reality. The link that I posted in the chat room is of a video of essentially Jay and Silent Bob showing off this brand new, they're doing pre-orders for it right now. It is a $700 Optimus Prime, and it transforms and has voice commands.
Oh, let's see here.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
We can watch it, but we can't. I guess it's not giving us any volume. But it's a $700 Transformer Optimus Prime.
And I
actually think I've seen this.
Are you guys able to hear the audio?
No, and it's a 7-minute video.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just gonna like show like some of it, but yeah.
Just skip ahead so you can actually see it in robot form, because it transforms itself.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I've seen this. I've actually seen this.
The thing that I think it makes it the coolest thing ever is it actually has the original voice of Optimus Prime with all the sounds that it makes. All the audio clips are from Peter Cullen saying, you know, transform. And then it makes a transforming sound and it changes into the truck and then drives away. Keep in mind, had I seen this video 2 weeks ago, I would have had one by now.
Yeah. Before you spent all your stimmy money, huh?
I spent my stimmy money on bills and on like podcast
gear. You could buy two with the stimmy money.
Right?
I know. Well, I think you're better off with the podcasting stuff.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Oh, that's just my two
pounds. I agree. Yeah, but I saw that. I was like, God damn it. Why didn't I see that 2 weeks ago? I would have totally bought one of those, because let's be honest, who doesn't want a voice operated transformer that you can tell to do whatever and it does it? It'll actually, if you watch the video, you say one command and it will actually do like the superhero pose, you know. It also does Superman pose,
Jack,
as well.
Yeah.
So Jack, you write for Grit City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've written a few articles for Grit City magazine, and I have a website called TacomaStories.com.
Tacoma Stories, what is that about?
Tacoma Stories is, it started off as kind of a joke. I was talking to somebody from Seattle, and they were talking about Tacoma being a really crime-filled place, and I said, I bet I could write about every single homicide that happens in the city and I wouldn't be all that busy. And so that was 2006. And I grew up in Tacoma. I was here in the early 90s when it was nice and crazy. So I remember when it was bad. So in 2006, I noticed when it was good. It's 2021 right now, and it's getting bad again. So, like if you go to my if you go to TacomaStories.com, I think, yeah, you notice it. It says the 18th homicide of 2020, and that was posted on January 4th of this year because I am way behind.
Yeah,
there were 30 homicides in Tacoma in 2020. There's been 8 so far this year. But what I try to do with these things is I focus on the victim, and I try to talk about who they were, what happened to them, and if there's a GoFundMe or something, I always have a link to it. The comments section is moderated and only for people who have actually knew the victim, who might want to share memories or something. And that doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it does. And sometimes I'll get emails about it. But it's, like I said, it's something I've been doing since 2006.
Wow. Wow. So how do you find out about the homicides? I mean, clearly besides reading the paper, but.
Yeah, basically it's reading the paper and paying attention to a handful of Twitter and Facebook pages and just trying to pay attention. I mean, that's one of the most difficult parts is when I miss a homicide or or I'm just not aware of something that happened. Because I hate to miss one because quite often most of the local news sites have like these 90-day windows where they have stories up and then they don't have them up anymore. And so you have somebody will get killed and the only way you'll even know it happened is this website. And I've had that. I wouldn't know that except that I've actually talked to people where one of them, she was looking for her estranged father and he had been murdered. And she said, literally, your website's the only thing I can find about him at all.
Wow.
But yeah, it's... But I usually have a photo if I can find one. The difficult thing is doing as much research as I can, because some people have a lot of personal information online that's easy to find and some don't. And so if they have like really common names or if they have you just never know. And sometimes like with like the one that's up on the shared screen now, David Eugene Johnson, I heard from relatives who sent me these photos. And it was the most photos anyone had ever sent me of a victim. And I really thought about it before I posted it because I thought, well, what's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is we have a lot of photos of these people who've died. And so I thought, well, right, that's not bad. So let's just do it.
Yeah. That's something that's an amazing tribute to the people who were, and for me as somebody who, if it's not, it's kind of public knowledge, my father was almost murdered. And, and one of the things as a family member, one of the things a lot of us did was research online, trying to find out the different, any of the news articles that we could find and what we were reading and find out, but to be able to have somebody who would have been able to post the truth on the behalf of the families who could actually have that conversation. It's amazing.
I focus on the victim and I write it as if the victim, as if I was the victim's lawyer, essentially, like not just lawyer in court, but like lawyer for getting him into heaven. Because to my mind, I'm like, no matter how bad they were, they're dead now. It's over. Whatever they did, it's over. And so I really try to treat, I really believe in I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. I'm blanking on Steven Johnson. No. God, I've lost it. Brian Stevenson. There we go. I knew there was a Steven. He has a line that says, "We are, you know, we're more than the worst thing we've ever done." So
right. I agree.
Yeah, because sometimes these people who are being, you know, murdered. Sometimes they just murdered somebody else. Sometimes they've done, you know, they've done something terrible and then got killed. And even when those are the, you know, when that's the, like, I've had to do that where I've had a case. There was one, it was either last year or the year before where one of them killed the other one and then his friends killed that guy 30 seconds later.
Wow.
And so I, you know, that's, so I wrote two different articles, one of them about one about the other, and did my best not to paint either of them as, you know, terrible people. Though for all I know, they might be. I don't know. I didn't know them. But my view is once you're dead, you've paid whatever price you had to pay. I mean, there's nothing more to be done. Why badmouth them some more, you know? That's one of, right. Like, a lot of times there's, like, I rarely mention that people are in gangs, even if I find out that they were, because there's a certain bit of the population who see gang killings as not dead people. I mean,
right.
You know, they're, oh, it's just gang stuff, who cares? And they don't think that that person was, you know, somebody's brother. That person was a father. That person was, you know, a son. That person had a life and dreams and hopes and friends and
family.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody has somebody who loves them, and they might not even know it, but they do. One of the most amazing things with the recent, death of Chris Brannon, Sonic's guy, is just seeing the outpouring of love from all these people who he touched. I mean, that's the thing that I find over and over again, because I've been dealing with these homicide things for so long, is that there are dozens of people who care that you don't even have any clue that they care.
Right.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's true. That's strange. And not kind of even on the opposite end of the spectrum. Now that we're able to go out in public again and start to do shows again, I am shocked at how many comics come up to Romeo and I and ask us when is the wedding and where, because I want to be there. And nice. It really surprises me, all these people who want to, that are showing all this love and support for us. Like, I had one comic said, he goes, I'm moving to Detroit, you tell me when it is, I'm coming to the wedding. He goes, you don't even have to invite me in. He goes, I'll crash away, I'll hang out outside. He goes, I just want to be there. He goes, you guys are like Brangelina and the local comedy scene. And
Marie
and
Romeo.
It's funny to me that right. And it surprises me. But on the same side, you know, you never know how many people's lives you touch. And that's why, you know, it's something kind of like with the suicide, when all these poor people, they find out afterwards, if they'd have known all the people that have that love and support from right now, then yeah, Cousin Todd, mute yourself.
Nasty. That wasn't me.
yeah, it was.
No, it was not.
And as far as I'm concerned, it was. Anyways.
Marianne, are you seriously trying to blame me for something you did?
I didn't do anything. But I would blame, if it was me, I would still blame you. But anyways, probably Jamal doesn't say anything.
No, it's not even me. I
who belch. No. So anyways, it's kind of a good segue, kind of going from that to both together, Todd. Kind of going from that to segue to George Floyd, and mm-hmm. right now, it's really interesting that I love the way that you talk about how when somebody's murdered, you focus on the good. Mm-hmm. Right now, this is something where I know that a lot of I'll be honest, when this trial is over, we know that there's going to be a lot of rioting. It doesn't matter what the outcome is going to be. There's going to be a bunch of rioting. It's going to be chaos. And there's already talk about how white supremacists are stepping in right now, trying to stir up controversy, and they're waiting for the verdict so that they can create some riots and stuff. But it's crazy how when we have a high profile police killing like this, where people are trying to justify it by saying, well, he was on fentanyl and he was on drugs and he had a heart problem and all these other things. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be their narrative. That's all they're going to hear, because they don't read any of the details. They don't read any of the stories. They don't find out any of the actual truth behind it. They just get that little right. piece, and that fits their narrative, because he was just, you know, he's a big, scary black man, so he deserved to get killed. Mm-hmm. Who was in the process of, he committed a crime, which is again, mm-hmm. I don't know of any crime that the judge, that any cop has the right to be judge, jury, and executioner of. You know, that's mm-hmm. not the American way.
Here in Tacoma, we have usually have two police involved shootings a year. Last year we had four. One of them was Manny Ellis, that one was I wasn't there. I know that I don't have all the information, but what I do know is it was something like less than a minute after they started interacting with him, they had killed him.
Holy shit. And
I don't know what you could do in that minute, especially if you're unarmed, which he was. I have always counted police involved shootings in the Tacoma stories, homicide, because it's, I made some rules, and one of those rules was if somebody else ends somebody's life, that's it. There's exceptions. I don't do vehicular homicides because it's genuinely difficult. It's not because they're not important. It's because sometimes it's right on that line, and then all of a sudden I'm going to be covering everybody that dies in a car wreck. And then it's like, well, why am I covering people in a car wreck and not people who have a heart attack? Don't they matter? And next thing you know, it's everybody who dies. And you don't right. have that.
Overwhelming.
Yeah. So, and that's always my answer when people want, because there's, you know, outlying areas like Fife and Lakewood. I had a friend whose brother was actually murdered in Lakewood, and he desperately wanted me to write something, or he wanted to write something himself for the site. And I told him I couldn't do it. And I hated telling him that, but I'm like, I can't tell you that because I know it's your brother, but it's also somebody else's brother who gets killed in Lakewood next week. And then I'd have to tell them that they could. And it gets too complicated and it gets difficult. And,
right.
You know, and so I really had to narrow it down because of that. But yeah, there's a lot of rightful animosity towards the cops at this point. We're right now, we have here, not to make this like the Tacoma show or anything, but
it's okay.
Yeah, we have a Pierce County sheriff named Ed Troyer.
We talked about Ed, what he did recently.
He made big news, and he made big news doing something dumb.
Because keep in mind too, Ed Troyer, for somebody who didn't hear the previous podcast that we did, where we talked about when Ed Troyer used to be the voice of the sheriff, the Tacoma sheriff. If there was anything that the media or anything like that needed information on, Ed Troyer was the one who did the speaking on it. And Ed Troyer called other police officers, said that he was in threat. His life was in danger. He was being threatened. His life had been threatened by a paper boy or a paper man. Yeah. I'm sorry, because the guy was in his 20s. So at that point, he's a man. He was not a, and he was delivering the newspaper. All he was doing is flinging newspapers out. Like, what he'd been doing, but he was driving a beater mobile kind of vehicle in a nicer neighborhood. So Ed Troyer at 3 a.m. got all freaked out, thinking that his life was in danger. And what do you mean they sent 43 units to my site?
What did he think was going to happen? I mean,
it's the second highest call, officer in danger.
Yeah, he had just he was a spokesperson for Pierce County Sheriff, and then in November he was elected Pierce County Sheriff. And so he had just been, and at the time of this call, he had just been elected. So he's the brand new Pierce County Sheriff, and he does this thing where it's obvious that he's not in danger. The TPD that showed up immediately actually diffused the situation and barely even took a report. They did have 43 units respond, because the initial call is Ed Troyer's in trouble, and that's going to get everybody there. I'll say drunk naked woman won't put her clothes back on. That call's going to get everybody there too.
That's true.
It's are certain calls that are going to get you a lot of police.
And then he tried to explain, it wasn't that serious, and I exaggerated, but it wasn't, I still stand by what I said, and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Come on, that's an abuse of power, though, and that absolutely embodies what we call a abuse of power, and you cannot tell me that somebody is in that position doesn't know what that call that he just made is going to entail. He's trying to intimidate and threat, and this poor guy is just trying to deliver papers. And why? Why was it because he was black, Ed? That's what I would like to know. Ed. Answer me. Was it because your paper man was black?
That's the thing, is Ed, regardless of, even if everything he said was true, which is really stretching it even, to think that, but if everything he said was true, it wouldn't matter, because he's lost the public trust.
Right.
And if you've lost the public trust, you can't be a public servant. That's how it's supposed to work. So,
right.
I think what he needs to hear is,
there is something fucking wrong with you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So on day one, I was like, okay, he should resign. It was a nice idea to be sheriff, but you're not going to be sheriff anymore. And there are actually campaign signs right now all around the city that say, all it says is resign, Ed. And
as he should. The thing is, though, is right now in this day and age, like you said, there's typically two officer-involved shootings a year. Last year, there was four. I can tell you that there was an officer-involved shooting of a man who was in mental crisis in Bremerton. I actually know, I worked with his cousin. He was a sound guy, and I worked with him. And he said he was having just a psychotic episode. He was in crisis, and he wanted death by cop. He wanted suicide by cop, and he got his wish.
Yeah,
and that's just it, though. How bad is it that we know that we can do suicide by cop?
Right.
How bad is that? I want to talk about this incident that happened. And I saw the video. I actually watched this video yesterday, and I was livid. And I had Romeo watch it. And in case, Jack, just kind of to give you a little bit of perspective, my fiance is black. And a lot of times we'll discuss some of the things, and I actually try and not show him a lot of things, because I know how upset it makes him, because I know that for him, I try and shield him from a lot of these things, because I know that it also causes a certain amount of fear in him. And, I see that I experience it through him, and I watch him. As a black man, every time he hears of another cop needlessly being either not necessarily even killing, but threatening like this. So just a quick breakdown on this. It was in Virginia. and a lieutenant in the army was going home for the day. He was getting pulled over because the cop that saw his car said he couldn't see a license plate and they had dark tinted windows. Okay. No crimes committed here. None is, no crime has been committed. What happened was the police officer said I could not see his license plate and he had dark tinted windows. First of all, there is a certain tint that goes to the point of illegal. And then there's degrees of tint. Okay. So I don't know if the tint was beyond that degree or not. However, when they went to go pull him over, the lieutenant did not feel comfortable because it was not a well-lit area. So he had the police follow him to, he ended up at a Shell station where it was very well lit. But there was another cop that was going the other direction, heard the call that this guy was getting pulled over. They said it was a high risk because the guy continued traveling. They considered it a high risk pullover. And so another cop joined into the followed behind to pull over the car. He's driving a Chevy Tahoe. Cameron, Jamal's flipping through so fast I can't read it.
I'm sorry.
Nazario was driving a Chevy Tahoe that he just purchased. So it was a new one. And they immediately get out of their cars. Now, at this point, now they can see the license plate. Now that they pulled him over and he's in a well-lit area, they can now see the license plate. Again, no crime has been committed. None. Zero. Absolutely nothing. They jump out of their cars, pulling their guns on him. They go up and Cameron's got his hands outside his window as you know, I've talked about many times. Many black moms have told their sons, this is how when you get pulled over, this is how you behave. You have to do this as a black man in America. When you get pulled over, you roll down your window and put both hands outside your window so they can see that your hands are empty, that you're not a threat.
Right.
And so he's telling them, my hands are out, and they're telling him to get out of the car, and then they're telling him not to move. Get out of the car, don't move. Get out of the car, don't move. He's like, you guys are telling me conflicting things. I'm concerned for my safety right now. One cop said, basically said he was resisting. So pepper sprayed him. He's sitting in his car with the hands outside the window, getting pepper sprayed. They're pepper spraying him. And he's like, the door's locked. And they open the door. And he goes, honestly, and he can't see now because he's been pepper sprayed in the face. He says, I'm too scared to move. I can't get out because he's seatbelted in. They finally unseatbelt him. They pull him out of the car. He's got his hands up. He's like, what did I do? What did I do? And they, instead of responding, telling him, they knee kick him behind the back of his knees and drop him to the ground. He's standing there dressed in his military uniform.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the Blue Lives, Black Lives Matter. Well, Blue Lives Matter too. Well, wait a minute. Oh, you know, don't kneel.
And mind you, the video that you're seeing, if you look at like the upper left-hand part, he's got two guns drawn on him. So what is he supposed to do? Like, he is sitting there, you know, he's communicating with the police officers, obviously. It doesn't look like
he's being calm too.
So yeah, it's kind of like, I wouldn't blame him. I would just have my hands out there. Hey, look where my hands are at. See, I'm not reaching, I'm not resisting. I know what you guys do to black people in this day and age. Yes. I'm not trying to be a victim.
And those police officers were acting like he's being belligerent. He's like, what is going on? And he has his hands at the window. What is going on? Why did you pull me over?
He's wearing his military uniform. Again, no crime. No crime was committed. He committed zero crime.
I mean,
a traffic infraction.
Keep in mind, it's Virginia. Driving while black is, you know, frowned upon.
Right.
So
it's still, well, and the thing is, though, is just that when he made comment that he was afraid, as he still has both hands outside the window, he said he was afraid, and one of the other cops told him, you should be because you're fixing to ride the lightning. You guys know what that means? You're fixing to ride the lightning. You guys know what that means?
It sounds like an AC/DC song.
That'd be Metallica.
From the Green Mile. It was from the Green Mile, they went to execute the black man.
Electric chair.
It was in reference to the electric chair of
I put
and so the, basically the cop just threatened him, you should be afraid because you're about to get killed. You're about to get executed, is basically what that cop said. So, and keep in mind, for anybody who wants to push back and say, well, what did that black man do? He was dressed in his, he's a lieutenant. He's an
active duty.
Active duty military.
Right.
In our United States Army.
Yeah, fighting for your rights. Was,
yes, driving his vehicle. That's all he was doing. He was driving his vehicle.
I also put in the chat room the video from the news station, the local news station, and it has video from both body cams and the lieutenant's cell phone.
Okay, I'll work on that right now. Then.
Yeah, I need to see that one too because I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's I mean, I watched it last night, and I didn't read the article because there were so many fucking advertisements on that page that caused my OCD to kind of go. Ngh! But
did read the whole article.
I watched the video from beginning to end, and it made my skin crawl. Just the whole idea of him being an active duty military and he's being treated this way bothers me. And I'm not a huge military yay person, but that bothered me. So I mean, that should say something right there, right?
Yeah. And the thing is that he's a lieutenant in the United States Army, and because he's black and Latino, but he's not just like a private or a sergeant. I mean, this man, he's an officer in the United States Army. And even with that, and you watch the video of the cops that get out of their vehicle and keep, one of the things that was posted to them too was dispatcher was, is it common for somebody who's driving, getting pulled over, who's driving in a dark area, is it common for them to continue driving until they get to a better lit area? And they said, yeah. They said it's 80% of the time.
Speaking from a person who's been pulled over by the cops bunches of times, I never pull over in a dark area. I always pull over by a gas station. 9 times out of 10, especially when I would be driving from Seattle to Spanaway when we were roommates, I would see cops having people pulled over by well-lit areas like the gas station or whatnot. Just because you don't want to. A well-lit area is way better than, a dark area where you don't know what's going on or something could get misconstrued.
Right. And that's something else too, that they say that 80% of the time it's somebody, it is normally a minority that will continue to stop over to a well-lit area. And like the lieutenant said, the reason why he did that was because it was out of respect for the police officers that he was waiting until he got to a well-lit area because he wanted them to know that it was, he had, again, when he hands out the window, that they could see that he had no weapons, that he was not a threat to them. And yet these assholes get out of their vehicle with guns drawn. And I'm just kind of curious, like, if somebody could try and explain to me the other narrative, how this man's got his both hands out, he's not a threat, and they pepper sprayed him. Why the fuck did you pepper spray him?
Yeah, he wasn't being disrespectful. He wasn't being belligerent. There was no reason for that whatsoever.
Yeah.
So what he's telling the officer who grabbed his hand, he's telling him to get his hands off of him because he hasn't done anything. He's like, I haven't done anything. Why are you stopping me?
Right.
He's telling him, this is not how you treat a veteran.
That's not how you treat anybody who hasn't done anything wrong.
So, so he's confused on the situation because he's just being pulled over. Oh, now he's getting pepper sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that's fucked up.
And he was smart enough to have his own cell phone set up and recording the stop. Like, he had glasses on, but they were pepper spraying him through his glasses. And they kept continuing. That would explain why he pepper sprayed him a second time. He didn't just pepper spray him once. He pepper sprayed him. Now he'd do it again. He pepper sprayed him a second time. After he took his glasses off, pepper sprayed him some more.
And at one point, he's telling he told the officer that his dog is in the back having trouble breathing because he just sprayed that many times.
Now he's being asked to get out of the car, but he's telling the officer, "Look, I can't breathe. I can't get out. Can you unclip my seatbelt?" Yeah, he's still. Oh man, yeah, this is.
Yeah,
this is something, you know. Yeah. This is where I say we live in two different Americas, because when all of my POC friends are talking about this and sharing this.
Yeah.
And my white friends are posting shit from Pinterest and talking about other nonsensical.
Thanks for tuning into another episode of It's Not About You with Jamal, Marianne, and Cousin Todd. Be sure to check them out on all their social medias at Not About You Pod. That's NOTABOUT, the letter U, POD, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.